Open your Bibles with me this morning to John, the 21st chapter. John chapter 21. I want to prerequisite this sermon by saying that gone fishing is not in my repertoire. I went fishing for the first time at age 45 or 44. And the doctor instructed that Luke and I could go fishing. So we went and bought us a Zebco 33, and I told Luke to go get us some bait. We headed out to this little pond, and one of our church members said, go fishing. And Luke and I stayed out there for 2 hours, 3 hours. And I'll let Luke tell you that, how many fish did we catch, Luke? 50 fish. We had no idea what we were catching. The guy came out from the pond and we said, hey, what are these things? And he said, those are crappie. I didn't know what a crappie was. We threw them all back. On the way home that day, I told Luke, I said, Luke, if this is all fishing is, I'm not interested. We caught 50 fish. We sold our Zebco 33s and we have yet to return to the pond. So I'm saying that to tell you, I'm speaking of this morning about going fishing. And so the information that I have on actual fishing that I'm going to share with you this morning is from some buddies that call themselves fishermen. And we're going to look at John chapter 21 and verse 3. And the Bible says, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, well, we'll go with you. And they went out and got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now, can anybody relate to nothing? Most of us can, yes, in the fishing trip. So we discover here that the disciples, they embarked upon this fishing trip. And you can see Simon Peter come in and tell all of the disciples and his partners, he says, listen, I'm going fishing. And the other disciples chime in and they said, hey, listen, we're going with you. And so I can see, go back to the first slide if you can. I can see that these disciples posted the sign, gone fishing, on the upper room door as they're leaving that day to let everybody know they're going fishing, and they headed out to the lake. And I don't know if the pecan trees weren't budding. I don't know if the worms were not falling from the willow trees. I don't know if the cows were not laying down. I don't know if the water was too high. I don't know what happened, but they didn't catch any fish. In other words, the fishing trip was a dud. And you hear all of these stories about, Karen says, when we're driving by somewhere and the cows are laying in the field, she'll say, oh, it's a good day to go fishing. Now, who figured that out? So there are all these different stories. So I don't know what happened that day, but from verse 3, we see that it tells us that the fishing trip was a dud. It was a no good. It says that day, that night, they caught nothing. Now, it wasn't that the disciples were not trying to catch fish, because they had toiled all night to catch some fish. It wasn't that they didn't have the right equipment. I'm sure they had the finest tackle available. It wasn't that it was the wrong time of day. You see, it takes more than that. It takes more than toiling. It takes more than tackle. It takes more than time. Listen, if you're fishing in the wrong place, you're probably not going to catch any fish. And so there's two different ways to look at this. There are some people that go fishing, and there are some people that go to what these fishermen say, wet a line. They go to wet a line. And without the presence of fish, the disciples were simply wetting a line. They were out wetting a line. And there's really two kinds of fishermen, as I understand it. Some people go fishing to catch fish. And they are not satisfied unless their ice chest is full of fish at the end of the day. And anything less is almost considered a failure. And then there are those who are recreational fishermen. They're more interested in the experience than they are catching the fish. They are satisfied with just going out for a day and wetting a line. And if they catch a few fish, that's fine. That's all good, but they don't. They still enjoy the trip whether they catch a fish or not. And what may be enjoyable as a recreational pastime, listen, church, is deadly in the spiritual perspective. It's deadly in the spiritual perspective. The church, which consists of the followers of Jesus Christ, is called to be fishers of men. Yet very often in our churches today, we are just simply wetting a line. And we're happy just to wet the line. We're not influenced enough to go and be fishers of men and to bring people into the church and people into Christ. We like to say we are, but we are really just wetting a line. We generally have very little concern if we have the right approach. We generally don't care if our methodology is from 1935. We really don't care about any of that thing, as long as our perception is we're wetting a line. We're trying to go fishing. We don't care if we're fishing in the right place. We don't care if we have the right equipment. We don't care. We have little concern, actually. You know this by looking at our sanctuary today. And I apologize for pick your feet up this morning if I'm stomping on your toes. But look at our sanctuary today and then tell me how many fish we're catching. How many? Why? Because many of us are wetting line. Because we have little concern if we're fishing in the right place, if we have the right equipment. But the unfortunate part of all of it is we're very little concerned that if we catch any fish or not. We're happy just to say we're going fishing. So I would ask you today to open up your ice chest. Open up your ice chest and see what's inside. Second Baptist Church, let's open our ice chest and let's look at what's inside. Could it be that one reason some folks aren't quick to see too many people coming to church is the same reason that some people catch fish and throw them back or really don't want to catch fish at all is because fish are messy. And people are messy. And when you catch fish and when you bring people into the church, you're bringing all sorts of different personalities, all sorts of different problems, all sorts of different backgrounds and skin colors and issues, and you bring them into the church and they're messy. And nobody wants to deal with messy. So when we don't want to deal with a mess of fish, generally we throw them back in. And if I catch a mess, I have to clean the mess when I get home, so I really don't want to do that. It's much easier just to go out and wet my line. It's much easier just to go out and say, listen, I'm a member of Second Baptist Church. Good to see you today. Just to wet my line. It's really messy to catch. It's much easier to go out under and sit under the cypress tree and eat my sandwich and top it off with a Twinkie and say that I wet my line today and I had a great day outside and nature's beautiful. It takes too much effort to fish. It takes too much effort to fish. And fish in the right way. You see, it does take effort to fish like you really want to fill your ice chest. That takes effort. What does our ice chest look like? Is our ice chest full? Are we brimming over? What does our ice chest at Second Baptist Church look like? Are we catching any fish? Are we having full effort to the attention of detail to fill our ice chest up? Is that really important to the people of Second Baptist Church? Is that really important to you in your life to fill the ice chest up? It's a question we must answer. The question for us is, what kind of fisher or men are we? Are we really content to practice casting our weighted line out in the backyard? Or are we truly after some fish? And if we're really after some fish, will we do whatever it takes to catch some? course, it's easier to wet a line and say that we're going fishing. And so the church today, listen, has mastered the art of fishing without ever really catching anything. We're good at it. Instead of fishing for men and women, we're often busy ourselves attending fishing seminaries. Learning how to go catch them. We're often too busy telling fish stories, or we're too busy fixing up the fishing camp. That's the church. We're too busy fixing things up so it looks good, so that our tree looks green and we look like we're bearing fruit, but our ice chests are empty. It's where we are as a church, not just Second Baptist, but in general. Think of the money and the resources we spend so that our place looks so nice. So it can look green, so it looks like we're fishing, it looks like we're doing things right, it looks like we're bearing fruit. But is our ice chest full? Too many are content with the thought that because everything looks so nice, that we're fruitful, even though evidence tells us we're not. What a hard pill to swallow. It's been well publicized statistic that my denomination and yours, that 70% of our churches are plateauing or declining. 70%. That begs the question, are we fishing? Are we wetting a line? What is it that we're doing? And in many instances today, our fishing consists of fishing for children of church members. Our fishing consists of fishing for others in the church that maybe are family members. Our fishing consists of church members transferring from one fishing unit to another. In other words, one church to another. That's what our fishing in the church usually consists of. But few churches, very few churches, are impacting the pagan pool, the unbelievers in Jesus Christ, those that are unchurched, those that have no idea who Jesus is. Very few churches are impacting that pool and reaching them for their God and for their God-given potential. And so, therefore, our ice chest remains empty. Why? Because they're messy. Why? Because they don't look like I do. Why? Because they don't dress like I do. They don't talk like I do. They don't believe what I do. Sometimes we just fish in the wrong pond. Sometimes we're earnestly fishing. I think the disciples were earnestly fishing that night, and they were just simply fishing in the wrong place. We're toiling, patient, and we're not catching anything. And our nets are being thrown out, but they're coming up empty. And we have to ask ourselves, and we have to ask ourselves as a church, why? And why may be because we're fishing in the wrong place. You see, the disciples, they didn't even see the school of fish that was all around them until Jesus showed up, and Jesus showed them where the fish were. They're right there. Throw your net out there. And the Bible says they caught like 150-something, right? They filled their nets up. And he said, bring them over here. Let's have some breakfast. They've been fishing all night. But they had no idea where the fish were. And they were continually coming up empty. The problem was not that the fish stock was in decline. Listen, church, the problem's not there's not unsaved people out there. The problem's not that we don't live in a pagan culture. We do. There are people all around us that are unsaved. That's not the problem. The problem is that we don't see the fish, and then we don't go after them with the right bait. The way I understand it, and some of you can correct me if I'm wrong, but do it after the sermon so I don't have to stop. But it takes a few things to be successful in the fishing business. And it also takes a few things to be successful in the fishermen of men. It takes knowledge of where the fish are.
Where are the fish?
Listen, if you don't know where the fish are, I would assume as a fisherman, you're wasting your time. So people spend much money to have these little things put in their boat where they can see the schools of fish, right? And I would say, well, what kind of sport is that? Right? It's like videoing a deer and then go shooting. Not much sport in that. All right, but anyway, they got these things in the water. And so they see the school of fish. So we must have knowledge. Where are the fish? So if I ask you this morning, where are the fish for Second Baptist Church, what would you tell me? Where are they? Where are they? So it takes knowledge of where the fish are, and it takes the right bait. And in many churches today, we've used the same bait since church began. What is that bait? Well, we've tried to bait to where we encourage children to come. Because the old thing is, if I can get the children to come, then maybe mom and dad will follow. So we've used that bait. We've used the bait of Sunday school. I hate to break some of you's heart this morning, but Sunday school is not in the Bible. It's man-made. And we've hung on to it for over 100 years just because we love Sunday school. We're so traditional with Sunday school, and it has to start at, what is it, 9:30? 9:30. It's the only time Sunday school is available in America. 9:30 on Sunday morning. But folks, the generation we live in can't spell Sunday school. Sunday school seems old and traditional to the new generation, and they don't want to hear that. They're not coming, just to be honest. And some of you are like me that grew up in the church, and you would say, well, they don't know what they're doing. No, they don't. Folks, listen to me. They're lost. They're lost. And so what kind of bait are we using to get them into a Bible study, into something? Call it whatever you want. Into a small group. Into those things. So secondly, we got to have the right bait. And thirdly, it takes time. In other words, that's translated patient. It takes time and patience. You see, healthy and growing churches that are penetrating this lost world we're talking about are churches that are sensitive to the needs of the people around them. And they're leaving their comfort zone. They're leaving their traditions. They're leaving their old methodology in order to reach people. You've probably heard of John Ortberg's book. I've read it a couple of times. You've probably heard of him, but the name of this particular book is If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat. Pretty simple title, but a lot of meaning in it. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. And from your perspective, you can answer where you're sitting. I would ask you, as a church, in terms of fishing for men, are we in the boat or are we out? We've got to be willing to get out of the boat. I suggest that our church may need to get out of the boat because we've been stuck in this spiritual sandbar for however many years. And I'm not talking about second, I'm just talking about period. The Church of Jesus, we've been on this sandbar. In order to wade out into the waters where the fish are schooling, we got to get out of the boat. We got to get involved. We got to make it personal. And then we can cast our nets and we can bring in a great catch that will be nothing short of miraculous. And that's what the Bible tells us in John 21. And for we're told that Jesus calls out to the disciples and he asks them this question, have you caught any fish? Do you think Jesus knew the answer to that? Don't you think that was sarcastic? Yes. Have you caught any fish? Well, these dudes are out there and they're tired and they've been out there all night and they don't have a single catch. And here comes Jesus. Have you caught any fish? Well, at least the disciples in the fish story told the truth. They said, no, we hadn't caught any fish. Many of you won't do that. Oh, yeah, I called, threw them back. I mean, you should have seen this thing I caught. Right? We've all heard them. But at least they were honest. And this was one of the fish stories in the whole world that was true at this particular time. They hadn't caught anything. And they told Jesus that. And the Lord's asking us the same very question this morning. He's saying, church, how's your fishing going? Church, are you catching anything? I believe it's one of the measures of faithfulness to us into the church. It's one of our measures of faithfulness. It's not in our inspiring building. It's not the curb appeal that we have great landscape going on out there. It's not that the grass is mowed at 3/4 of an inch. Are we catching any fish? Bottom line. It's not our budget. It's not our impassioned boastings of what all we can do and are doing. But is our fishing, are we catching souls for Jesus Christ? And if we're painfully honest about the success and the failure of our fishing, what would the answer be? Because let me remind you this morning, the fish are biting. And Jesus guided the disciples to where these fish were located. And with His eyes, He could see the fish schooling. And He'll do the same for us. If we see this as Jesus sees it, we will look through the eyes of Jesus. We will see the people that are in need all around us. We will see the people that are unsaved all around us. And here's what Jesus said. He says it in John chapter 4 and verse 35. He says, I tell you to open your eyes and look at it, friends. They are ripe for harvest. The fields are ready. And they're ripe. And fishing's a little bit like farming, because you see results in proportion to the work that you put into the endeavor. And that principle of sowing and reaping that we've talked about before, it's variously stated in the Bible. It's variously illustrated in Scripture. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap that way. You'll reap sparingly. But whoever sows generously will also reap generously. I have a few friends that are avid fishermen. I'm sometimes impressed and sometimes envious of their great catches. Why don't I have similar results? Well, it's easy. I don't own a pole and I'm not going fishing. So I hadn't put in the time and energy and the money and the whatever they have in order to go fishing. Should I have similar results? The answer is no. I shouldn't have similar results. You say, well, why are all these churches growing? It's because they're putting in the time and the effort and the money to go fishing as a church. It is their main straw. It is what they're founded upon and what they do. And we ask as a church, why aren't we growing like they're growing? Do we deserve to grow like they're growing? Would be the question that we must ask. Are we doing what we need to do in order to grow what they're doing? You see, we live in this society that says, I want it now, I want to do it now. But it takes time and it takes patience and it takes resources for us to have similar results, for us to be passionate. Fishing consists of many, many outings, not one or two a year. Many of us have boats serve more as a leaves catcher than a fishing boat. We can compare that to our attitude at church as well. Folks, we got the greatest story ever told. The greatest story ever told. Is that not enough bait? The greatest story ever told. And we very occasionally bring that up. Just imagine the possibilities of what God could do for us if we would faithfully do what He's asked us to do. So Christians, we continually cast our nets repeatedly into the world and we expect a catch. And our nets are going to be varied because there's going to be different baits that we have to use for different kinds of fish. And we can't always use the same methodology of catching fish that has always seemed to work. If worms aren't doing the trick, then go get a cricket. God didn't call us to go wet a line. That's not what He says. He doesn't say go wet a line. He called us to be fishers of men. He called us to catch men. And we must be willing as a church, as an individual, to do whatever it takes to reach people. Listen, because the devil is consider this. We fish for men to see men saved. In a sense, we're really catch and release fishermen. The devil fishes to fry them. The devil fishing to fry them for eternity. But you and I, we catch them. Why? So that God can release them. God can release them from their sin. God can release them from their bondage. God's not asking you to clean them. God's asking you to catch them. So Second Baptist Church, we need to figure out a way, a plan to go do some fishing. And we need to grab our pole, we need to get our bait ready, our tackle ready, we need to have a plan, we need to set some priority time aside, we need to follow Jesus to the riverbank, we need to follow His will of being fishers of men, and then expect a great catch. And quit sitting around the church house saying, why aren't we growing? Why aren't we growing? Stop it. There's a reason. So let's be hard on ourselves and let's look at it and let's figure out a way that we can catch fish for Jesus Christ. Folks, that's why we're here. And that's why in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, is that on the board? Oh. It says, follow Jesus. It says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It's a challenge for you this morning, Second Baptist Church. I hope you take it with the right heart. I hope you pray about it. And I hope we take it to another level. Father God, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have to go fishing with you as our guide. Father, thank you for all of those around us, Father, that know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that being faithful to you would mean taking the word with you, with them, and catching fish. Father, may we as a church design, seek your will and your counsel and your wisdom on the right bait, in the right location, at the right time. And Father, that we would expect a great catch, that we could catch some fish for Jesus Christ. That would be our mind mission of this church. Father, we say thank you in advance for those that will be put in our path and that are put in our path every day, that we may share the word with them. Father, open our hearts, our minds, our ears to hear your word. In Jesus' name, would you stand with me this morning? We'll have